welcome to another episode of Tech San Diego Spotlight, where we take a look at all things technology. I am your host, Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego, coming to you almost live from technology's perfect climate, beautiful, at least most of the time, San Diego. Although we have had some great sun past couple of days, but before that, boy, that June gloom has really kicked in. So this is a podcast, and we've done a series of these about the economy, and this one I'm especially looking forward to, and I know that sounds cliche, I may have said that before, but I really have had companies asking me about what's going on in the economy, how does it affect mergers, do I sell my company now, do I wait 5 years, do I keep it forever and give it to my kids, I don't know what they're doing, no one knows what's going on in the economy, so to bring a little bit of clarity is my go-to firm whenever I think about investment banking and valuation objective. And we're fortunate to have their managing director, Michael Kim. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning and great to be here with you today. Thank you so much.
So I hope you're too enjoying the, at least I think it's going to go for a week or so, the nice weather, at least we can see the sun.
For sure. We're definitely enjoying it at home with the kids and it's been great so far. And hopefully it continues for the rest of the summer here.
I don't have solar, but I wonder what the people who have solar have done the past month.
Good question.
Well, some of it must get through. I mean, just because we don't see it, it might get through. But hey, let's get to the reason we're here. So, Michael, you're the managing director of Objective. I know what Objective does, but why don't you give us the cliff notes on what your firm does?
Yes, great. So Objective, our firm has been around for about 15 years or so. We focus on kind of two services. One is providing valuation advisory services. The other is really pure investment banking. So providing sell side advisory services to business owners who are looking to potentially sell their company. We have done over 500 M&A engagements over our time period here. And we work across a variety of sectors with technology being our most active sector.
And of course, with Tech San Diego, again, Objective is one of the folks I go to if I have questions or our members have questions. So look, I'm going to jump right in this, Michael. So part of the reason I want to bring you on is we have this weird economy, right? 2 months ago, we were all thinking, that's it. We're in recession, batten down the hatches. Let's stop hiring. And then things die, kind of the clouds, much like Tech San Diego, much like San Diego, the clouds are opening up. It looks like the sun is coming out. I saw this morning housing starts are up. Inflation's been cut in half. Small, mid-sized companies are hiring. The big guys have been shedding jobs, but that's to be expected considering their growth. So let me go ahead and ask your question. Considering where the economy sits right now, how does that affect? I mean, and you're talking to these folks every day. How does that really affect the landscape of mergers and acquisitions? And are there any specific trends or challenges tied to the state of the economy right now that you're seeing that we may not be?
Yep. And that's a great question. We're actually getting a lot of business owners who are coming to us in recent months asking that very same question. And I would say it's really interesting because if you look at the top end of the market and what I'll call companies that are publicly traded, the Googles of the world, you'll see that there is an impact from the availability of capital, which has impacted both M&A, IPOs, fundraising, and then funding for early stage startups as well as the cost of capital has increased. But I would say for the majority of companies that we deal with, which are, I would say, companies in the size range of $25 to $250 million, it's a very different story where there's a very much less impact from the broader economy. And there's a number of reasons for that. But for smaller companies in general, there is still a large amount of big strategics that have tons of cash on the sidelines and private equity firms who have fresh powder that are looking to deploy that capital. So for quality companies, there remains a pretty robust M&A market and deals are continuing to get done.
And Michael, that's tracking what I'm seeing. I'm not surprised, but again, I think there's this odd perception in the economy, right? I read an article in The Atlantic about it, which I actually wrote about in my last uplink, our newsletter, where everyone thinks the economy is doing worse than it is, right? And so my sense is you might have some business owners sitting on the sidelines thinking, you know what, now's not the time. There's a lot of uncertainty. So what are some of the risks associated with, you know, what I'm hearing, what I heard from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, yeah, there might be some, you know, economy may be doing some gyrations, but on the M&A side, there's lots of money out there. Are there risk going to that market now, or are they same risk that there always is? You know, something could happen next month, good or bad, right, in the economy?
Yeah, so I think acquirers are becoming a little bit more perceptive around potential risks and the go forward of the business. You know, in a rising economy that we've seen over the last 8 to 10 years, companies have been able to grow and succeed, be profitable, et cetera. I think acquirers these days are really looking at your projections and making sure it tracks with reality, that the companies that they're looking at to acquire are really able to hit those numbers going forward. So for companies that are looking to potentially sell, really having good understanding of your business fundamentals, the data that sits behind your company, and being able to build up projections that really support your growth story and why you're going to be able to achieve the growth and profitability that you're stating is pretty paramount in telling a good story and achieving a good valuation.
And, you know, that might be a good segue to talk about the other half of your business, which is, you know, the evaluation. So some of those same questions, you know, I think people are wondering about, are there differences in how you approach evaluation due diligence in this economy? Are there, you know, adjustments you make to account for the volatility in the market? Or what's your evaluation team seeing or doing?
Right? Yes, so they are seeing some of that for sure. I would say some of the work that our valuation team does is kind of required for companies, especially earlier stage startup type companies that are looking to, you know, give out stock options and get a basis for kind of what their valuation may be. So that work is continuing. The other thing we have seen is that for some of these startups in particular, right, over the last 5-8 years, they've been told kind of growth at all costs, right? Don't worry about profitability. You can go raise another round and just continue to scale the business, and don't worry about cash burn. You'll get there. That story has really flipped over the last 8 to 12 months, where now businesses are being told you need to be profitable. And so it's been kind of an about face, if you will, and it's confused a lot of business owners. And that's why I think a lot of the discussions we're having today are around, you know, what do I do with my company? I've been focusing on growth, redeploying all my capital back into the business. Now I'm being told I need to be profitable, and that has not been on the table at all. You know, what do I do? And so it's an interesting kind of dynamic that we're seeing in the market today.
I'm clutching my pearls. Gasp. You mean fundamentals might be important? you know, and I think there's several examples. I'm not going to name names, but there's certainly several examples of San Diego where we've seen that growth at all cost model, right? Which has included the rapid hiring that you know, upon retrospect, maybe a little too rapid. You know, one of the things I was wondering too, Michael, is that, you know, we've seen this remote work trend, right? And digital collaboration. Are there ways that your firm has adapted? And maybe this is the valuation side, or maybe it's the overall, you know, the overall M&A. For instance, I mean, a lot of companies acquire companies for talent, right? If their workers are remote, there may be less of a chance that they may go with the new company. Are there adjustments that you guys are making in M&A and M&A decisions that the remote work has really driven?
It's a really interesting question. And so over the last couple of years, you know, since COVID, it's been really fascinating to see how a lot of these acquirers, specifically private equity firms, have adjusted to the new normal of the world and are now, in fact, acquiring companies without necessarily having to meet the entire team, you know, in person. And we've seen many examples of this where a company we sold last year, in fact, they had remote employees all over the world. The acquirer met our company via Zoom a number of times. They didn't meet in person until the very end of the transaction, but were able to have enough comfort from the due diligence process that they went through and all the systems that we have in place today that allowed them to be comfortable enough to acquire the company, and for our client to be comfortable enough to sell to this particular acquirer Noting that many of the employees were also remote in various countries throughout the world, but the acquirer was able to get comfortable, and that's just kind of a new normal. It gave them an advantage that they were able to be open-minded about looking at a company that had most of its employees remote. And it allowed them to dig deeper, get into the story, and get comfortable. And they ended up paying kind of the highest price for a lot of various reasons. But it's interesting to see how that's kind of played out.
Michael, it's interesting to see how that's playing out in transactions. One of the things you and I talked, I don't know if you remember the conversation, but you and I talked a couple of months ago, and we were talking about, I was complaining, you weren't complaining, I was complaining about how long sometimes our sales cycle is in membership. And I don't recall whether it's yourself or whether it's one of your associates said, geez, our sales cycle could last, 3 to 5 years. And I was really kind of taken aback by that. And so, if that's the amount of time it takes for you to engage a company, what are you advising them? So let's say I'm a $30 million company and I come to you and I say, Michael, I'm not ready to sell yet. I don't know what the future brings, but I want to put a couple things in place and I want to get an idea of what I might be looking for when I do it. What are the type of activities on the front end do you work with business owners on? What would you tell them in that meeting?
Yeah, that's a great question. We work with companies kind of at all stages of their life cycle. So, a lot of times we'll have a company coming to us saying, hey, I've gotten inbound interest. Somebody put an offer on the table. What do I do? All the way to the point of companies who are just starting their formation process, trying to attack a certain market. And for somebody like that, who we're talking to maybe 3 to 5 years ahead of time, we really work with business owners to understand kind of what is their end goal, their end state. We have lots of business owners who care the most about their employees, their legacy of the business, passing it on to somebody that they trust. We have other business owners who are only focused on, achieving the highest valuation of the business, don't necessarily care who it sells to. But a lot of times we're working with business owners to put in the right team. So really, from a business owner's perspective, what are you trying to get out of the transaction? What do you need from a financial perspective? What do you want to be doing with your time after the deal is done? And a lot of other areas of kind of what they could be doing versus just the number that they're getting as a headline number. So that could include things around putting in a stronger management team, a deeper bench, which would allow the business owner to potentially step away right when the deal is done versus being tied up in the business for another 2 to 3 years. It could involve making sure all the accounting and the books are in order, which makes the transaction go much more smoothly, allows you to achieve a better premium on the sale of your business. It could be around doing things around customer concentration, attacking new adjacent markets. And we work with business owners kind of across, many, many stages of the life cycle to kind of figure out what brings them the best bang for the buck, vis-a-vis how much it costs to invest to get to that next inflection point. And so we spend a lot of time with folks thinking about, if you sell today, here's a number you could get, versus if you can hit this growth rate and your metrics over the next 2 years, here's what you could get in 2 years. But what is the risk associated with getting there? Not only for yourself as a company, but the competitive environment, the cost of getting there, how much dollars do you need to invest to get there? And all the other factors that go around kind of growing a business. And it really helps business owners kind of right size, kind of where they are, what they want to achieve. And the reason we're actually called Objective Capital is for the fact that we really work with business owners to allow them to really figure out what they want to get out of a transaction versus us telling them what the end state is.
I imagine, do you find that a lot of them are poorly packaged before you go in? And it just seemed, a lot of companies, they're worried about growth, they're worried about revenue. And I think the accounting and the, they may have revenue recognition that you want to say, no, that's good. But if you're looking at an outside firm is going to be looking at it this way or this way. Do you find, are there often, I don't want to say easy fixes, but are there fixes that you go in that you see a lot of, they say, if you need to do it this way? Do you see that a lot when you first talk to companies?
Yes, very much so. A lot of times we're working with entrepreneurs, right, who've been building their business, very focused, know exactly what they're doing in their line of work and their niche of work, but haven't necessarily thought about how do I scale this business to sell it one day, which is a lot of times what ends up becoming the end goal. And so a lot of things we help business owners with is around kind of the accounting, the financial metrics, tracking the right data, so that it's easier for an acquirer coming in to know exactly what they're looking at. And we really help with the story of how do you package this data to tell the right story to really help achieve the you know premium valuation that our business owners are looking for. So we spend a lot of time kind of slicing, dicing data, making sure we're presenting it in the most you know appropriate but favorable way to kind of achieve that end goal. So that's one way we do it. Looking through contracts, making sure they're able to get transferred over to the new acquirer. And there's a bunch of things both on the investment banking side and on the legal side as well that can be helpful just so that a business owner is prepared. And so what we typically do is ask our business owners to put in a good team, whoever that is, but should include, you know, a good tax CPA, a wealth manager, an attorney, M&A attorney, in fact, and, you know, an investment banker can really help round out the team so that a business owner, whether they sell today or 5 years down the road or never, they'll be ready to go if that day ever arises.
Yeah, and it's really bewildering to me that companies are never prepared for it, right? And I see this a lot. And, you know, it's even they get inbound, unsolicited inbound requests. It says, well, I have no idea. And you know, my concern is that they're not packaging their company in the best to put the best foot forward. And, you know, they may be accepting an offer or start negotiations from a position that's not good. And it always amazes me that, you know, they should reach out earlier, right? And I think, you know, one of the things is that, you know, in the past there's been Objective been around for 15 years, but I've seen some fly by night investment firms that had really high retainer fees and all these other fees and other things. And it really kind of caused people to move away. And I wish people would get used to this new reality. The big service providers to tech that I know are more interested in developing a key relationship. The business relationship will come after the, you know, after almost after the personal relationship. So if any of you folks are out there and you know, you don't need to be thinking about it today or tomorrow. It could be 5 years from now. Geez, have a talk with Michael. And I know almost all his staff. They're all great, great folks over there. And I know several of my members have been happy with the work they've done. But, you know, my advice is always early. You know, I say the same thing on leasing and real estate. Early, early, early. Talk to these guys early. So I'm sure you're going to validate the earlier the better, Kim, Michael. But again, just getting the right systems in place so that they don't have to redo it 3 years from 5 years from now and spend $1 million completely redoing their books for the past, you know, 4 years.
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the largest risk factors to a business owner looking to potentially go down the path of selling their company really is around their time, right? Instead of focusing all their efforts and energy and scaling and growing the business continuously, they end up spending 3-6 months going back and forth with an acquirer who has expressed some interest, and that ends up in no result is a great failure, and you know actually reduces the company valuation by millions of dollars. We could really measure if you didn't grow by that extra 5% because you spent all your time going back and forth on diligence with an acquirer, it could really end up in a waste of time. And so we really work with business owners to really think through how they want to go down the path, whether they're going to do it today or not. Just at least think through some of the dynamics around prepping your company.
Michael, we covered a lot in about 25 minutes or so. Is there anything that I didn't ask or that you want to talk about or something that you might think is important that we didn't go over? I it was very informative for me, kind of, again, understanding the risk and understanding that, you know, I didn't think, but I thought there might have been a position where you would have came on and said, just hold, don't do anything. And that's not what I'm hearing from you. What I'm hearing from you is be ready because we don't know what this economy is going to do. And now may very well be the right time. We don't know, but be ready. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, you know, I would say there are certain sectors that are more doing better today, right, in the economy, that are getting more investment from private equity firms. There are others that are having a tougher time. So I think of kind of consumer-facing businesses in general have had some valuations come off, and it may not be the right time for certain businesses to go out to market. So I'm not saying that everyone should be looking to sell today, for sure, but I think prepping, getting ready, and for business owners, really thinking about and assessing, you know, why would you want to sell? And so what we do spend a lot of time doing is helping them answer, you know, is this a good time? What is my company worth today? What investments and risks are associated with getting to the next inflection point? And we're able to do that and help, you know, business owners at least think through some of that without signing anybody up, without actually going through a full market process to sell their company. And at least knowing kind of in the back of your mind what your company is worth today, what you're aiming for, really puts you in a better position to kind of direct your company go forward. And so, you know, we'd love to have a conversation with any business owner wanting to just at least find out some of those types of things about their own company, and happy to have that conversation.
Okay, so let's go ahead and close out this issue of Tech San Diego Spotlight. Michael, thank you for coming on. You gave us some really good advice. We're going to have to digest that. And let's bring you back in a couple of months to see if things might be different.
That sounds great. Thank you very much for your time.
This episode of TSD Spotlight was hosted by Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego. Many thanks to Michael Kim, Managing Director at Objective Investment and Valuation. Objective Investment Banking and Valuation is a leading investment banking and valuation firm offering sell-side M&A and valuation advisory services for middle-market companies. Content in this material is for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Visit objectivecp.com for more information. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva. TSD Spotlight is recorded remotely and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure to like, follow, and share.